Live from KTOO in Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea with this news. BP and ExxonMobil have committed up to $20 million to the state-run Alaska LNG project. It's the first time in years that private industry in the state has pitched in money to move the Gasline project forward. Both companies, and ConocoPhillips, were investors in the project, but backed out in 2016, citing unfavorable market conditions. Lieutenant Governor Kevin Meyer told a crowd at an oil and gas conference in Anchorage that the money will be used to get the project through the federal environmental review process. Meyer said Thursday that the two companies will also help the state determine whether the project can be more competitive. The Alaska LNG project would pipe natural gas from the North Slope to Nikiski, then transport it to Asian markets. Damian Bilbao is the vice president of commercial ventures for BP in Alaska. He says the company has at least one big reason to help get Alaska's natural gas to market.
Alaska gas remains BP's single largest global undeveloped resource. Full stop.
Bilbao says it's significant that industry and the state are collaborating on the project again. He credits Governor Mike Dunleavy's administration with working to bring private industry into the process of getting the state's natural gas to market. Still, that doesn't mean the company believes the Alaska LNG project is more economically viable now than it was when BP stepped away from it.
The state has made good progress over the last several years, and working together with Exxon and HDC, we think we can unlock some additional opportunities. But we'll just have to see in a few months after some work is done where the project is relative to other opportunities around the world.
The state's Gasline Development Corporation projects that it will need about $30 million to get through the environmental review with the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. If that process stays on schedule, the state could get the final federal go-ahead by 2020. U.S. Attorney General William Barr met with Alaska Native leaders from around the state yesterday in Anchorage to discuss law enforcement challenges in rural Alaska. Barr will spend 4 days traveling around the state, learning about the unique challenges facing rural areas, particularly villages.
Because of its vast size and because of the diverse communities and the lack sometimes of easy transportation, and it created, I realized, a lot of serious law enforcement challenges, and it piqued my interest.
At a roundtable discussion at the Alaska Native Tribal Health Consortium, Barr heard from Native leaders about high rates of violence toward Native women and children, the lack of law enforcement in many communities, and the limited funding for the resources that currently exist. Northwest Arctic Borough Mayor Lucy Nelson was one of the leaders who met with Barr.
Imagine picking up the phone and calling for help in an emergency, knowing that help is hours away and may be dependent on weather.
Richard Peterson of the Central Council of Tlingit and Haida Indian Tribes of Alaska says that more jurisdiction should be given to the tribes to enforce the law in their communities.
I believe we're the solution. I believe the tribes are the solution. And I believe if we're properly funded and we're able to build the infrastructure we need, we're the answer.
Many of the leaders noted that it's often hard to qualify for federal resources because of legal confusion between federal Indian Country law and the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act. Barr agrees.
I understand exactly what you say, and I get frustrated too.
Yeah, like,
well, these little categories, well, they don't qualify because of this and so forth, and I'd like to try to marshal what we have and address the problem.
Barr described yesterday's meeting as the first of several he'd like to hold in the state or in Washington, D.C., to help address problems in Native communities. Like many towns in Alaska, Juneau has no roads leading in or out. That presents a problem when it comes to getting rid of vehicles no one wants anymore. It's expensive to ship cars out, and the city's impound lot is full, meaning more abandoned vehicles sit on the street than usual. KTO's Adeline Baxter has more on how the city is trying to address the backup.
The city impound lot in Lemon Creek has a capacity for about 100 cars, but it regularly holds closer to 180. In 2018 alone, the city impounded 788 cars. According to Deputy Police Chief David Campbell, that's more than 60 cars a month. While about half were only held for a few days, the total number of impounds has risen over the last 3 years. That means Juneau Police Department staff have to dedicate more time to managing the lot and tracking down owners.
So it doesn't take much to have that be at absolute overcapacity. So we're constantly telling our officers and our CSOs, hey, we're full. There's no place to put them.
Normally, the police department holds 2 or 3 car auctions a year to clear out the city impound lot. At an outdoor auction last fall, it was drizzling. but several dozen people still showed up to bid. Campbell served as the auctioneer.
450 going once, 450 going twice, sold 450.
The auction gave residents a chance to find a deal, even if the selection wasn't exactly choice. Some cars had flat tires and smashed windows, but a few went for over $1,000. Erin Haywood is a regular at the auctions, scouting for spare parts for her family's cars.
So you're just looking for parts?
Yeah, because that one, you know, there's no key. Maybe his key will work on that. So that one's all moldy, nasty inside. Don't know if it runs, but, you know, if it's got a good tranny, then, you know, we'll just snatch it out.
The city moved several cars off the lot that day, but not enough. The cars have been stacking up much faster than they can sell them. There are state laws dictating when and how municipalities can dispose of abandoned vehicles, adding to the workload. Campbell says that's why they're trying a new strategy.
It was like this constant losing battle. We weren't able to get ahead of the curve. So what we've moved to now is an online auction process.
The police department has held 4 online auctions so far this spring, allowing people to bid on just a handful of vehicles at a time. It's cheaper and less time-consuming than holding live auctions. The hope is that it will help clear the lot faster. According to JPD, they've sold 18 vehicles since March. While that should help the police department manage impounded vehicles, it doesn't address the larger problem of why so many vehicles and junk cars are piling up. The city already provides free junk car recycling for registered owners through Skookum Sales and Recycling. As long as a vehicle is not commercially owned, Juneau residents can drop it off for free. Which begs the question,
okay, this program is in place. Why are people just abandoning them on the side of the street or in, you know, parking lots around town? Well, I'd be willing to bet that the people that are abandoned probably aren't the owners, because you have to be the owner to take it to recycling.
Vehicle theft is on the rise in Juneau. According to police, the number of cases rose 38% from 2017 to 2018. The city also struggles with how to address abandoned cars on private property. Police can't impound them, but they can help property owners try to find the owner of the car. Campbell says the city will continue looking for ways to streamline the disposal process for abandoned cars. In the meantime, information about online auctions can be found on the Juneau Police Department's Facebook page. In Juneau, I'm Adeline Baxter.
A raven in Juneau that was struck in the head by a blow dart has been euthanized. The Juneau Empire reported yesterday that the raven was euthanized by a veterinarian on Tuesday. An official from the Juneau Raptor Center says the bird was first seen flying around downtown Juneau with the dart lodged in its head in April, but continued to elude capture. The raven was trapped in a gated area at a homeless shelter Tuesday, and Raptor Center personnel were called. The official says the blow dart, which entered near the bird's eye and was sticking through the opposite side of its head, severely damaged the bird's sinus cavity. Shooting a raven or other migratory bird is illegal under the Migratory Bird Act. No one has been charged. A second man has been sentenced in the theft of a fossilized woolly mammoth tusk from an Anchorage museum. Federal prosecutors say 41-year-old Gary Boyd of Wasilla was sentenced Wednesday to 33 months in prison. It's the same sentence U.S. District Judge Sharon Gleason handed out in April to co-conspirator Martin Elzey. Both were convicted of removal of a paleontological resource. Boyd and Elzey, on March 18, 2018, broke into the Bureau of Land Management Museum, stole the tusk, cut it into pieces, and sold them. After prison, Boyd will be on supervised release for 3 years and banned from national parks, national forests, or BLM land without permission from his probation officer. Gleason also ordered Boyd to pay about $8,400 in restitution to the Campbell Creek Science Center.
My name is Willie Carlisle. It's a great pleasure to be here on the red carpet at the Alaska Folk Festival. This is a song called Boy Howdy Hot Dog. This is for all the drunk uncles of the world and the drunk aunts and the drunk uncles of the future and so on and so forth, ad nauseum, ad infinitum. Them coals are turning bright red, firewood's in the truck bed, river's running low this time of year. Ragweeds on the turnpike, bedrooms, mostly Christmas lights. Sorry, friend.
Arkansas songwriter Willie Carlisle recorded this in collaboration with Justin Smith of Rusty Recordings in Gustavus. The video version of it is part of our Red Carpet Concert Series, an ongoing music video project by KTOO Public Media. Well,
plate, hot plate, baby went and made a cake. I never seen a heaven that did not have a snake. Well, hot plate.
And here's a look at the forecast from the National Weather Service for Junobero and Northern Admiralty Island. Tonight, mostly cloudy, lows around 50, light winds. In downtown Juneau and Douglas, southeast winds to 15 miles per hour. Friday, rain, highs around 60. In downtown Juneau and the Menhall Valley, highs in the mid-50s. That's the KTOO News Update for Thursday, May 30th, 2019. I'm Jeremy Shea.